today, like I said, we're going to be talking about attracting your tribe. You know, where do you put your opt-in forms, and ways that you can leverage existing content. So we're going to dig into this. So I want to start with your blog, because I know some, in fact, just pop in real quick, if you guys would, do you have a blog or not? And if you do have a blog, are you consistently blogging? When I say consistently, are you blogging like once a week, once a month? What does that look like for you guys? Because what I'm getting ready to share with you are ways that you can leverage your existing content, your blog content in particular, and why this matters. I think sometimes people are always saying, oh yeah, you need to be blogging, or, and most people, unfortunately, I would say anywhere from 70, 80% of people are not capitalizing on the eyeballs that come to their website by having an opportunity for people to opt in to their list. So I'm going to show you ways that we leverage our existing content to get, to entice people to opt into our list. Like, quick example, my website gets about 1 million clicks a month, so I get a lot of traffic. Now, most of my traffic, interestingly enough, doesn't come through social. It comes through the Google machine. In fact, it's 80%+ of my traffic comes from Google versus social sites. And anybody can do that. And I'm going to give you some resources for that today, too. So when you get somebody, if somebody lands on your page, your site, whether it's your website or whether it's a blog post, or, you know, if they have shown an interest in you, your business, and they're there, why let them wander off when you'll never have a touch point with that person again? Most people don't return back to your website consistently. They're driven there by a particular search, or they see something on social and they click and they go there. But just because they go there once doesn't mean they're going to return over and over again. That's why it's so important to try to grab them, entice them to opt into your list. Otherwise, you're never going to know who that person is ever again. So I see some no blogs. Okay, well, hopefully after you see what I'm getting ready to share with you today, you'll think you should maybe have a blog, hopefully. So let me share my quick blog story with you guys. I started my blog, over 10 years ago now. And I just did it because it's not, honestly, it wasn't because I had this great desire to write. No, I did it because at the time everybody said you needed to have a blog. And so I did the blog, that's one thing I have consistently done over and over again. And I have tons of blog content. I think over 600 or 700 blog posts now. And those are what I would call still viable blog posts. There's probably more that are no longer viable, meaning they were, you know, they're outdated or whatever. But when I first started blogging, I didn't have a vision for the 1 million clicks a month. Like, no, I just had no idea that that was even a reality for me. And I would say that most that have pretty good traffic probably have a similar story. You know, they didn't start out thinking they were going to have millions of people, you know, come to, or, you know, 1 million clicks a month come to their website. The value, though, for my blog has been tremendous, because now, again, thanks to Rhonda, Rhonda has put together a lot of influencer pitch decks, if you will, because I get approached a lot for influencer work. And based on my numbers, because it's an algorithm. I mean, it's not an algorithm. It's a formula. She came up with a formula based on research that she now runs through, or that's how she presents the offers back to those who ask me to promote things or whatever. It's all formulaic now. So if I've got, you know, this much traffic to my website and this many Facebook fans and this, that, and this, you know, all those are number based, and we have formulas for it now. And again, I would never have had a vision for that when I first started. So blogging is so big. I think it's probably outside of my list, is definitely one of my most valuable business assets. Okay, so it, for those of you who have a blog, and if you don't have a blog, still think it through, because some of these things you can still use on a traditional website. So like this example, you know, using a what's called a hello bar, and I'll show you an example of what that looks like in just a moment. It goes above, it's at the very top of your website, and you've seen them, I'm sure you have, and like I say, they're an opt-in option. You can use them to highlight special things, like if you're having a discount, or it's not always just an opt-in option, but I wanted to bring it to your attention because you can use it as an opt-in. And here's an example of what one looks like. So it's literally at the very top of the webpage. So it's even before, just like a little line. In this case, this one's just a little bit bigger, but I have seen them where they're pretty skinny, you know, like if it's just an something where they're trying to give away a discount for something, you know, that kind of stuff. But they're the first thing at the top of the page, and they're called a hello bar. And as you can see here, this is an opt-in. So, you know, we're only accepting 500 beta users. Will you be one of them? Start your invitation request. Drop in your email address and request the invitation, right? So that's what it would look like on a website. So you don't necessarily have to have a blog in order to use this strategy, okay? The Hello Bar is a fairly inexpensive, AKA free tool. For most of you, I think that the free version would probably be wonderful. So I don't think you would need to necessarily pay for it unless you were just getting unless you are getting ridiculous amounts of traffic. So 5,000 a month is up to 5,000 a month views is totally free. You can have 10 pop-ups, you know, unlimited subscribers. So it's a really great way to test and see if the strategy is going to work for you for the low cost of free. Now, the only real issue that I could potentially see is the fact that with the free account, they do have their Hello Bar logo on it. So if you don't want the Hello logo bar logo on it, then you would have to pay for it. But my suggestion would be to try it for free, discount the logo for now. If it really starts to work for you, then you can always reevaluate and decide later if you want to, you know, up the account to the $29 one, which will get rid of the logo feature, their logo. The next strategy I have for you is sharing your opt-in above the fold. Now, what I mean by above the fold is what is viewable to someone before they start scrolling. So, meaning you want to be able to see your opt-in before they start to scroll. So, let me show you an example of that. So, here is Michael Hyatt's website. My website is currently set up like this, where my opt-in is above the fold. The reason for this is primarily this, is some people won't scroll, right? They land on your page, and they're like, oh, okay. So if you can catch their attention with a freebie, something that's value-based to them, above the fold, then you have a better chance of getting them to say yes. So my opt-in on my homepage does do very well. The one that's, you know, above the fold. I know Michael's got his on his. Who else? My friend Jalene Johnson has hers, I believe, above the fold. So check. Again, you can probably see, you'll go check a few of your favorite bloggers out, see what their website looks like. But this is a really good strategy. It does work. Wanted to pop that in there for you. Next strategy I have for you is placing your opt-in in your sidebar. So let me show you what that looks like. So here's a screenshot of my blog. And I've got two freebies actually right now in my sidebar. Now, WordPress allows you to do a couple of clever things. You could, and I've done this in the past, I don't currently have it set up this way. I take that back. If I've got a freebie that's associated with a specific type of content, then I usually do that what I'm getting ready to share with you. So let me tell you the strategy first, and then I'll back up and explain. If for example, which I do now have, I have a resource, a freebie for LinkedIn. So if somebody goes to the 8 LinkedIn strategies that are making you look desperate, I could put in the sidebar a special opt-in that's specific to LinkedIn. And so you can choose that in your WordPress options when you load up your opt-in. So here's, like I say, this one, the ones that are what I call default are my Facebook group graphics and then my 27 fun and creative social media post ideas. And both of those convert very well, even from the sidebar. But you can imagine if somebody goes to the 8 LinkedIn strategies and I'm offering up a freebie that's LinkedIn related in the sidebar, That's the strategy, right? They're there because they're interested in LinkedIn. If I'm giving them something else in the same lane in my sidebar, they're more likely to be attracted to that. So that's another interesting distinction. And like I say, it works if you have content, multiple freebies. If you don't have multiple freebies, do not stress over that. This is just a little bit more advanced strategy. I wanted to point it out because you can do it and it does make sense. It does work. But if you have one freebie and that's all you have for now, put your one freebie in the sidebar and be done with it. Okay. You can always go back to that advanced strategy. Just remember it later and you're like, oh, I've got a new freebie. Let me go back to any content that I have that's related to that and pop it in. Because you can do that at a later point in time too, obviously. Exit intent pop-ups. Now, I didn't say just pop-ups because I don't know about y'all, but I am not a big fan of just like a pop-up. Like, you know, you go to a website and before you can even move, like it's like walking into a store and, you know, somebody just descends on you like, oh, can I help you? You're like, I just walked in the door. Haven't even had a chance to look around, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm not a big fan of the ones that just drop down as soon as you land on your page. That's it. I'm going to be totally transparent with you. They work. They do. I mean, like, I've tried both. I don't currently have that set up because it kind of annoys me. But you'll go to like Neil Patel's website, for example, and you know, as soon as you arrive, you know, he has a full page opt-in that drops in. And there's a reason he does that. It's because it works. It increases his opt-ins about 25% on average. So if you can, you know, if it feels good for you, you leverage it, but definitely leverage the exit intent pop-up. So an exit intent pop-up is what happens when people start to scroll up to close out your website. It like knows, and it will pop up an exit pop-up, which gives them, if they're getting ready to leave, it'll give them an option to get something value-based for free, AKA your freebie. And I definitely recommend using the exit intent pop-up if you feel comfortable using the drop-down pop-up. Like I say, they do work. They annoy me. If they annoy you, don't use them or do. I mean, sometimes I've done things that I know work when I don't really like the strategy very, very well. So that's going to be totally up to you. It's a personal decision, I think. Like I say, I don't currently have mine set up that way, but they work. And this is what an exit pop-ups would look like on a website. So basically it grays out your website and all you really see in the focal point is going to be that pop-up. So as you can see here, 12 proven ways to convert abandoning visitors into subscribers. Perfect, right? Yes, I want more subscribers. No, I have enough, you know, so. And that's we use Opt-in Monster for our exit intent pop-ups, but there's a lot of tools that do that, have this functionality. I'm a big fan of Opt-in Monster myself. In fact, I've got their t-shirt on right now. It's one of my favorite t-shirts of all time. But that's a resource that would allow you to have the exit pop-ups. Another great strategy is to create a free resources page with links to all of your opt-ins. It's kind of like a resource library. And I do recommend that you, if you're going to have a resources page that's going to be like opt-in driven, that you pop that into your nav bar. So a lot of times when people come to your website, they're looking for free stuff. You know, they're looking for, you know, certain things. And if they can find what I call the mother load, they're like, oh my gosh, look at all this great free stuff. Assuming you have a lot of free stuff. If you don't, again, don't get wrapped up around, oh my gosh, I can't do that strategy because I don't have all those things. Focus in on the strategies that you can do, pick and choose, even if there's one of them, and roll that strategy out. And then you can always circle back to these other things as you build out your free resources. HubSpot has a phenomenal resources tab on their website. In fact, if you go to HubSpot, you click on their resources link, you'll see like tons of great free stuff. And of course, when you click on any of them, guess what? Yep, you have to opt in to get it. So their latest one is this content marketing strategy guide with workbook activities. Again, you click on it and you have to opt in to get it. All right. So let's talk SEO for just a second and why this matters when it comes to opt-ins. Traffic comes in all sizes and shapes, and traffic is just a person that is going to be interested in your product or service, preferably. It doesn't always work out that way. You know, like how many times have you ever Googled something and you click on something, you land on the site and you're like, no, this isn't for me. Well, that is more than likely going to happen to you as well, but it is a great way to get traffic based off of the search engines or how people are currently searching for content. Now, this is true with what I call the Google. I call it the Google machine. It is also true even for YouTube. Both of these are search engines, and you can leverage them for mostly targeted eyeballs, totally for free. And it's just smart to leverage the power of, I think, YouTube and Google, frankly. And I'm actually going to give you guys, this is something extra that I thought of. It wasn't something we initially thought to give you guys when we were putting the course together, but I decided when I was putting the content together that this would be so value-based to you guys. I'm actually going to give you our SEO checklist. How we do the SEO for my blog. And like I say, remember, I get 80%+ of my blog traffic from the Google machine. To say that this is invaluable is invaluable. That's probably a misnomer. This is actually a really, really great resource for you guys. Definitely if you're blogging, dig into this because it is, it is a great resource. It is our system for SEO and my content. So I will give you guys that. We're going to make sure it's in the group today and obviously in your membership area as well. Now, the next resource or the next strategy I have for you is embedding your opt-in in a relevant blog post. So let me show you an example of this. So remember when I was talking about traffic, when you have to have traffic to your opt-ins or you're going to get what? None. So traffic is super important. Traffic that you don't have to pay for is like, again, gold because you're not having to pay for it. So if you can get traffic through SEO juice, yes, do that. And once you have those eyeballs, though, on your content, you need to be prepared to take advantage of that. So there is a very well-known, I'm not going to name the brand, but it's a very big brand. They were driving tons of traffic from Pinterest, interestingly enough, which we'll talk about Pinterest in just a moment. And they made the decision to stop, even though Pinterest was driving incredible amounts of traffic to their webpage. They made the decision to stop devoting time and energy to Pinterest because none of those people converted. And yet, when you went to their page, the only reason that those people were not converting was there was no place for them to convert. It's like there was, you know, no place for them to opt in for something. It was it, just when I think of this brand, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, they were so woefully unprepared from a strategy perspective to capture the people that came to their website. So basically what I shared with you earlier was people were coming, they're coming. But if you don't have a way of finding out who they are, at least a percentage of them with an opt-in of some sort, then you're going to lose them forever. And that was exactly what was happening with this major brand. And they just couldn't see the forest for the trees, which is so sad because they had a lot of really great targeted people coming to their site. They just didn't have it set up to where people were opting in. So let me show you an example of embedding your opt-in in a relevant blog post. So here's one of mine. It's the 21, let's see, what was the blog? I think it's a Facebook group post. And so we embedded in three places, as you can see here, the Facebook group graphics. So it's basically kind of at the third, at the top, it goes the way we do it, just to kind of give you an overview of where we place the three opt-in boxes. About a third of the way down, we will put an opt-in box. And the reason that we do that is because if people are reading or even scrolling, that first opt-in gives them an opportunity to opt-in. They may take us up on that one. Maybe they continue to read on and they're like, wow, this is really great stuff. And if they get all the way to the bottom, then you're really going to have an opportunity to grab their attention to the degree that they're going to be like, this is really great. I'm going to opt in for this. So we place that opt-in box in three places. Again, about a third of the way through, about halfway through, and at the very end. Actually, about three-fourths of the way through. A third, three-fourths, and at the end of the blog post, we put in the opt-in box. So this little strategy, again, takes advantage of the traffic that is currently coming. In other words, you've got eyeballs on your content. You want to make sure that you have an opportunity to grab them, snag them up. All right. So next strategy for you guys is, let me back up for a second. Okay. Embedding a relevant sales opportunity in your blog post. So let's say you have a workshop or something that maybe some templates or some scripts or anything that is for sale. Maybe you have an event coming up. You want to draw attention to your event. Embedding a relevant sales opportunity into your blog post, again, in that third, three-fourths, and end method, again, is smart. So here's an example. This is a LinkedIn. So we've got the workshop, 9 steps to optimizing your LinkedIn profile inside of this particular blog. So I did an interview with Melanie Dodaro, and we repurposed that interview into this blog post. And we also happen to have this workshop that's for sale. It's all around the concept of, you know, optimizing your LinkedIn profile. So if people come to this blog post, they're obviously interested in LinkedIn, and potentially while they're there, they might be interested in the LinkedIn profile course. Like I say, it's just a masterclass. It's a mini course. And somebody can click on that and go to it and purchase it. Embedding a content upgrade in your blog post is my next strategy for you. And let me explain what a content upgrade is. Let's say you have a massive blog post. We call them cornerstone or what's the other term for it? Rhonda, what's the other term? I can't think of the other term. Anyway, let me just explain through its cornerstone. It's not coming to me. Anyway, they're massive blog posts. They're usually 3,000 words in length, roughly 25 to 3,000 words in length. And the reason that we write those cornerstone posts is for SEO juice, because we'll come up with a core, like a massive blog post, and it's like this brain dump, right? And then we'll come behind that one blog, and then we'll pull out pieces of it, and we'll elaborate, and we'll link. So there's deep linking that goes from the massive blog post to the smaller blog post. And again, that's just an SEO strategy that we currently use. But what we found is that these massive blog posts, while they're incredibly value-based, people are like, wow, that's just like a brain dump. That's just like reading an ebook or something. You know, it's like massive. How I don't have time to read this right now. But what we found, and this isn't just something that we do, a lot of people will do this with these massive blogs, is they'll copy and paste them into a PDF and turn them into an opt-in. So that's what a content upgrade is. So here we go. Here is an example of one of the content upgrades we've done. This particular blog was actually a series. It was a three-part series, How You Make Money on Facebook. And we combined all three of the blog posts into a single PDF. And, you know, if you're on the go, download the blog series and take it with you. This absolutely does work. If you have massive amounts, you know, if you have this like brain dump where you're, you know, I would even argue if it's not massive, you could still, you know, copy and paste it into a PDF and turn it into an opt-in. So hopefully that sparks some ideas. Another place that you can leverage your opt-in is your about page. So when someone's curious about you and they're checking your about page out, it's a great opportunity to give them something for free. So, you know, most of you guys, if you have a website, you probably have an about page. So swinging back to your about page and popping in an opportunity, a link to your landing page where they can opt into your freebie, just, you know, circle back, put that in, because you could potentially get opt-ins that way. 404 pages are another great opportunity. So a 404 page is basically a, let's say somebody types in your website wrong, or they, you know, like for example, if they type in kimgross.com/easel and they an E instead of an I in easel, you know, they just misspell it, then my website is going to throw what's called a 404 page. And again, you've got eyeballs in that moment. Why not take advantage of those eyeballs? Because otherwise they're going to see a 401 page. All they're going to think to themselves is, well, obviously this link's broke. I didn't get where I wanted to go. But instead of, you know, having them leave in frustration because they couldn't find what they were there for, offer them something for free. And I've seen some clever 404 pages. You know, we just tried to make, you know, have some fun with it. Oh, snap. Looks like you reached a page that is no longer available, but wait, don't leave empty handed. Grab this free ebook. So again, it's not just a 404. Sorry, this page is broke or this link is broke. It gives them an opportunity to opt into something. So definitely would love it if you guys incorporated this, and so would the people who come to your website and don't find what they're looking for or mistype something, etc. We actually have gotten quite a few outreaches about this, you know, the fact that it was fun. And, you know, I've seen people use puppies and all kinds of cute things on their 404 pages. I want to talk a little bit about Pinterest and how it impacts and drives traffic to your blog. Very similarly to what I was sharing with the massive brand that I was talking about a moment ago, they optimize their images for Pinterest. We do as well. And then we pin them to Pinterest. And Pinterest currently is my number one social traffic source. We just pulled traffic sources just the other day. And sure enough, Pinterest drives a ton of traffic to my blog. I thought that was interesting. It's actually bypassed Twitter for the first time in a long time. So now I was like, ooh, that now what we need to get smarter over on Pinterest, because literally the only thing we're really doing on Pinterest right now is sharing, the blog graphics to Pinterest. But like I say, it does drive traffic. And of course, in this particular example, I'm driving traffic to my freebie specifically. So I pin a graphic regarding my freebie to Pinterest. And when they click on it, they go to the landing page. And if they're interested, they're going to opt in. So that is a direct way to get opt-ins, people to opt in from Pinterest. I did share this in the social training that I did not long ago for, and some of you have probably already seen this strategy, but for those of you who are just have not been in some of my previous courses, this is still a great strategy. If you have multiple freebies, leveraging the power of Pinterest by creating a board that's just for your freebies is also a really great strategy. So it's kind of like the resources page on your website. In other words, you have one page where, you know, all your freebies are. And it's the same with Pinterest. You just have one board instead of one page where they can, where you can feature all of your freebies. And this is a really great little strategy. Definitely wanted to bring it to your attention again, just in case you are not leveraging Pinterest very effectively for opt-ins. How many have podcasts? I'm pretty sure we have a few that have some podcast or podcasters. I'm just trying to remember. I know, who was it? Anyway, I know some of you guys have podcasts. There's a couple of people that do this super well. One of the best that I'm aware of is Amy Porterfield. Amy Porterfield has built her list off of, primarily, not exclusively, but she has really made huge inroads into building her list, leveraging her podcast. And the way she does it is she'll have an episode, like here's one for, as a quick example, she had episode 319. It was Facebook group engagement strategies you need to know. And she put a free guide together for that particular podcast. And she does this routinely. So if she's got a topic that she's going to talk about, she has, you know, she and her team put together some sort of a freebie, a checklist or a worksheet of some sort, or a guide, anything like that, that goes with the content. And then during the course of her podcast, she references that guide numerous times. And then drives people to it. And she makes it very easy to find. So like, for example, if she's going to be advertising this particular freebie, she'll say, go to amyporterfield.com/319. People get used to knowing that whatever the episode number is associated with her freebie. And that's a big, big thing that I really want to key in on, because if you, when you got to remember, your podcast audience are listening. They're not sitting in front of their computers. They're listening most likely on the go. So knowing that they can, you know, when they get in front of their computer, all they have to do is type in her domain name and whatever the episode number is. Quick, easy, they can remember it. And she gets a ton of opt-ins, and they're her ideal person because they have been listening to her on her podcast. So it's such a great strategy. A few others, I know Jenna Kutcher does this fairly well. I'm sure she's probably learned this strategy from Amy. This is something we're working on as we get ready to launch the podcast, because again, it's a wicked smart strategy. I definitely want to do it. The only con, or, you know, there's the pros. I just gave you the pros. The only real con to this strategy is you do have to create the freebie. And that's only a con in the context of time and resources. Once you have created the freebie, it's a massive pro for you, because you can use it in so many ways. You can use it on your podcast. You can use it on your webpage. You can use it embedded in your blog posts that are relevant to that particular topic. You know, there's a lot of different ways that you can use it after you've created it. But you just have to create it to start with, right? Paid ads. I really feel like I've got to end with paid ads, because paid ads have been a huge, huge factor in me being able to grow my list to the size that I have. I personally leverage paid ads in pursuit of a sale, though. I don't normally just say, hey, here's something free and have people opt in. It's normally something that's free on the front side, and then people can go through a funnel. In other words, it's a, if it's free on the front side, then they can go into the next thing, which is some, a mini offer of some sort, and then into a core offer. Or what I've started doing is just going straight for the ask with my mini offer. And I'm finding that is working very well too. And which is one of the reasons I put together the mini, PDF to profit course, which we're getting ready to rebrand mini offer, to profit, because that's exactly what it is. It is something that's low cost. But some people do use the power of just a freebie, and, you know, just say, here's something free, and then get people to opt in. If you don't have subsequent pieces and you have even a little bit of money, it doesn't take a ton of money to leverage this strategy successfully. I mean, seriously, $1 a day, $5 a day, whatever you can swing. But if you can send traffic to your landing page each and every day, you're going to get opt-ins as long as you have something that people want. So you need traffic, the right traffic, and something people want, matchy-matchy it, and magic happens. So paid ads are a huge opportunity. Don't discount them thinking you can't afford them, because they do. They are right now more affordable than ever, and it doesn't take a lot of money to make an impact. And I just want to, I've shared this with you guys, I think once before, but I wanted to touch on it again, because this is basically how we leverage the power of paid ads, where we would lead with that freebie and go into our mini course and then go into, you know, my inner circle, which we've recently just restructured into the Business Builders Academy. And as you can see, over 100,000 people have opted into that freebie. You know, we generated over $750,000 in sales from just that sliver, that small sliver in the middle, and then over $1.5 million in sales from my inner circle or my Business Builders Academy. So these are, this is how it all starts to tie to the money, is my point. And once you start connecting the dots, like in this particular case, this is, we did lead with the free, in other words, with Facebook ads, and then we would immediately upsell them into the mini course. And then if a certain percentage of them would say yes to the mini course, and then they would get upsold into the Business Builders Academy, and a certain percentage would say yes there too. So, you know, that's how all the pieces start to play nicely together. And again, don't stress if you don't have the middle and the end piece. You can absolutely start with the freebie. And you can always make an offer after you've done so. So don't, I'm just painting bigger possibilities for you. Don't get stressed if you don't have everything lined up just yet, because it does take a bit to get all of the pieces up and operational. Okay, so I want to talk about social real quick. I really only talked about Pinterest, but in the context of driving traffic to your landing pages or your website. You do have the 20 Wicked Smart Ways to Turn Your Social Media Followers into Subscribers. So definitely take a look at that, because there's all my top strategies are in that guide on how to leverage the power of social media. I know some of you have gotten the entire course before, but again, I wanted to try to focus in on strategies that you hadn't heard before. But likewise, I wanted to make sure you also had ways that you could move people from your social to your list, because that's super, super important. So definitely dig into this guide and go through them. It won't, some of these things are very simple to fix. You know, things like, you know, adding your opt-in to your bios, for example. So definitely go in to the guide and go through it and pick out what makes the most sense. Not all of them may be something you want to implement, but definitely key in on that. The other things, I'm going to come back to this in just a second, because I want to show you guys something. The other thing I want to remind you is you do have the How to Use Quizzes to Explode Your Email List. And we have had really good success with this. And there's an entire training that you guys get with the course. So definitely take advantage of that. The other thing I wanted to make sure I shared this with you guys last night. I'm going to also pop into the membership area a interview that I did with Christy Miller on Monday, where she talked about how she's building her list with 5-day challenges. Not only is she building her list, but she's creating 5- and 6-figure launches with this 5-day strategy. So I think this would be super value-based to all of you based off of where I know all of you are. And I'm also dropping in a 30-day list building challenge checklist. Essentially, this is designed for you to kind of keep track of your growth over a 30-day period. Now, the reason that I want you guys to do this is so that you stay intentional with your list building. You know, it has a getting started number. If it's 0, don't stress. It'll go up. By the end of the 30 days, if you do any of what I'm sharing with you, it will go up. The reason that this needs to be front and center for you guys is list building is intentional, and you do have to consistently send people, the right people, preferably, to your landing page so that they'll opt in. And that's why this, I wanted to give this to you guys so that you could jot down your beginning number, monitor it for 30 days. Because if you don't know, if you aren't paying attention to your growth, then you're not going to really know what's working and that things that you are doing is working more specifically. Okay. So I want to share one other thing with you guys. We use a tool called Agora Pulse, and let me log in here real quick. The reason I wanted to share this with you is to show you how we make, how we drive traffic to our freebies. And we pre-schedule this content. So let me just show you the calendar, publishing calendar. So as you can see, all this content is already pre-scheduled. And, this is just my fan page, but like Twitter, for example, all of Twitter has been scheduled out and for honestly months at a time. I mean, my blogs are pre-scheduled to go out at certain increments. Every time that blog is posted or tweeted, then it goes back into the queue at the end of the queue, and it'll cycle back through at a later point in time. The reason I wanted to share this with you is because you can set up your freebies to automatically be posted consistently on social media so that you aren't doing what I call the one-hit wonder, where you post it once and you hope somebody sees it. Sharing your content consistently using a tool, preferably because you can pre-schedule it, is something I really encourage you to do. I just wanted to throw that out there because this again is something that matters. You've got to make sure that you're consistently driving traffic to your freebie, your landing page. Okay. All right. Now, let's go see what kind of questions we have. Danette says, does Agora Pulse have Instagram post function yet? Yes, they do. And we were so excited. They've had it probably 6-7 months, maybe a little bit more than that now, Danette, but yes, they do. And I love Agora Pulse. And by the way, you guys can get I think 2 months free with our link. It's Rhonda, you can drop that in if you want. I think you get 2 months free, test it out, see what you if you like it, that kind of stuff. Okay. So we have, one small step. Absolutely. One baby step at a time. Great strategy, guys. Definitely take a look at that because she was sharing a strategy that you might potentially could use as well. Oh, I know. I was really excited to dig in and learn from Christy, figuring out how she's doing her 5-day challenges. So if you guys haven't listened into that, definitely do so. We did drop in the link and they will go in the membership area as well. They sure will, Kim. So Mary is asking, Kim, a few years ago, I used to use Twitter for organic traffic. Does it still work for you? Yes, it does. So I tweet, I think a blog post like every 45 minutes, and it is still a huge traffic source for me. Pinterest has bypassed it for the first time in years. It has driven, I think last year, over 1 million clicks to my website, of course, over the course of a year. But still, I'll take that. We will drop everything in, Christine. And not only that, we'll make sure it's in the membership area too. I saw that, Vicki. Yes. So there's a lot of people teaching this strategy right now, you know, the pocket or the mini offer concept. I've been doing mini offers for years. I just never called them that until fairly recently. So a lot of people coming up with similar things because this strategy is actually working where people are bypassing the freebie and going right for the sale. As long as the sale is something low cost, people are nibbling at it and buying. So that's a positive. Alita, my best advice to you is pick a couple of things. I threw the kitchen sink at you guys today with a lot of core strategies, and you may not have the time or resources to do all of them, but get your freebie out there. Try to start putting the core pieces together. Choose a couple of small things. And then next month, go back and choose a few more small things. So baby steps at a time. But the key to that is just continuing to put things in place. Because the beautiful part about this is the structure, once you have it set up, will automate the process for you. It's just do the work on the front side that sometimes seems overwhelming. So getting your freebie up and operational, putting it in a few places, and then circling back when you have the extra time. But the key though with the extra time, because you will never make the time unless you make the time. I'm just going to be tough loving you there a little bit. You have to be intentional with your list building. It has to be a top priority, or something else will get in the way and you won't get her done. So pick in the couple of things this month, do those couple of things. Next month, again, get intentional with it. What are the couple more things you're going to put in your pile to get done? But setting aside the time and, like I say, being intentional to make sure that you do it is going to be the critical, critical thing. You can do both, Maria. I've had some, and the question was, do you do Facebook ads or Instagram ads? And the short answer is either or both. I've had some people tell me that they have had very good success with their freebies on Instagram. I haven't really tested my freebies on Instagram, to be perfectly honest, at least not to the degree that I need to tell you with any degree of certainty that they're awesome. But I know several people who've had really great success with Instagram ads and their freebies. Okay, so Paula says, I got the 404 page with your affiliate link. Okay, no, Paula, did it throw up the opt-in though? Let's focus on the positives of this negative. So Susie asks, have you ever tried a texting service to opt in? No, I haven't. Although, I was just doing a test with Jeff C. Jeff is part of the team here. He runs my show on my Marketing That Grows Your Business show on Mondays. And he's been testing a texting service. So I was actually letting him be the guinea pig. And if it works, his intention was to use it when he's speaking, like, you know, text me at blah, blah, blah. And I think that would probably work. I just haven't put the time and energy into it yet. I would love to do it at some point in time because we all have our phones like right here, right? So it just makes sense, frankly, to do some sort of text marketing. I just haven't made the time to do it yet. Great question, though. Let's see. Do you implement all of the opt-in examples in your blog at the same time? No, not necessarily, Vicki. So like, for example, I showed you a couple of different variations. So if I have a piece of content, like the LinkedIn, I'll use the LinkedIn example. I did an interview, we wrote a blog post on it. And then the next thing was, do we have anything for sale or for free that we can matchy match with that piece of content? So if we have something that matches up with our blog content, then we usually incorporate the strategies that I shared with you today. So if we have a freebie that's, Facebook related, then and the content's Facebook related, then we would pop in a freebie. But in some cases, we have blogs that we don't have freebies or anything to sell. And so we just have a straight up blog post. So we don't always use the opt-in option. But if we have something that goes matchy-matchy and plays nicely with it, then we will definitely use it. Yes, exactly. Looking to make sure. I think I've gotten all the questions. Feel free, though, pour them on, guys. If I've missed something or it didn't get your question didn't get answered, just let us know. We will definitely make sure we get your questions answered. Hopefully, I'm just curious, like, of all the strategies I shared with you today, which one was like, I got to go do that, like, right now, or which one did you feel resonated with you the most? I'm just kind of curious, because obviously the social strategies are one thing, but the nice part about putting these other strategies in place is they have longevity. So if it doesn't matter if somebody goes to my blog post that's got an opt-in in it today, tomorrow, 10 days from now, 2 months from now, 10 months from now, whatever it is, that opt-in is going to be there. On social, things move much faster, right? So the content strategies are just wicked sharp, guys. Definitely incorporate as many of them as you can. And that's a way to have more automation on your traffic. Leverage the power of your traffic smartly instead of just getting traffic and having no place for them to go and connect on a deeper level. So Kim is saying the 404 page. Yes, good. I love that you picked that up. Opt-in Monster. Alita was saying Opt-in Monster. And bacon.by. I'll have to check that out, Marbeth. Interesting. I've never heard of that. Pinterest to the max. Yes, Stu. Pinterest would be really, really good for you. Really, really good. Susie's saying the challenges. I've done one and it was a huge hit. I can see doing more of that. Excellent. Yeah, that's so many strategies. The key is you don't have to do them all, at least not out the gate. Just start, pull a couple of things out that you're like, oh yeah, I can do that. I have the time and resources to do that. Next month, pull two more out and make the time. The key again, guys, is being intentional. I was not intentional with my list building. I wish I had been when I first started and swung my business in the social media space. My list would probably be 10 times the size it is now. So experience speaking there, please don't get overwhelmed with all the ideas, but don't drop them either. Circle back until you have everything that makes sense. Maybe some things don't make sense in your business model, and that's totally okay. Maybe you don't have a blog, for example, right? But what else can you do? Don't say you can't do anything because you don't have certain things. Work with what you got and work with the resources and the time you have now, and then continue to make the time based off of your resources so that you're intentional with your list building. All right. Oh, Beacon. Oh, I thought it was Bacon. Marbeth. Oh, okay. So I was like, bacon? I've never heard of that one. Oh, goodness, Marbeth. Sorry about that. That's hilarious. I must have been thinking bacon. I haven't had breakfast yet. So bacon does sound pretty good. You can never go wrong with bacon. All right, guys and gals. Well, as always, if you've got questions, drop them in. Happy to help you. If you're getting hung up anywhere, let us know. You know, if there's, you know, if we can shoot a quick video for you, or, you know, anything that might lend you a little bit of hand to move you forward, just again, use the group. Okay. All right. Take care of yourselves. Stay safe. And I will see you in the morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Take care. God bless.